When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. It's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa. And today, we'd like to talk about astrology as one element within the New Age movement. Now, astrology has its roots much earlier than the New Age movement, but it's become very prominent and perhaps one of the biggest money makers within the New Age movement. Before we talk about astrology, though, let's start off with God's intention for the stars as we see it in Scripture. This is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate day from night. Let them mark the fixed times, the days, and the years, and serve as luminaries in the dome of the sky to shed light on the earth." And so it happened. God made the two great lights, the greater one to govern the day, and the lesser one to govern the night. And he made the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to shed light upon the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw how good it was. Evening came and morning followed the fourth day. Now we see that God loves the stars. He just absolutely loves them. And he loves the moon and the sun, and says that they're very good. And everything God makes is good. And he makes them to be that which marks off the seasons for us, and the times of year, and the days, and the months. And that's wonderful. But there's something else that people do, and have done for thousands of years, and that's astrology. Astrology has its roots about 5,000 years ago, maybe 4,000. We're not sure of its exact beginning. We think that the Sumerians used it in the 3rd millennium BC because of Sumerian words in the various records we have from Babylon and Assyria. But the earliest records we have are from the Assyrians, and they include Babylonian records as well. Now, astrology spread from Babylon through the means of the Greeks. Alexander the Great conquered the world, including Babylon and Persia and other places. And his Greeks learned astrology from the people of Mesopotamia. And they spread it and they changed it somewhat and adapted it. Because for the Mesopotamians, astrology had been done from the earliest days simply to help the kings and to help the royal house and the nation. And they would try to plot the destiny of the nations. And they believed this because they believed that the different stars and the planets were gods, or were the inhabitations of gods. And so that's one of the reasons that they would believe in it. And the gods were controlling the life of the king and the nation through the stars and the moon and the planets. But the Greeks took this up, still believing in the gods, and started to apply it to individuals. And it was only in the Hellenistic period, after Alexander the Great, when we see the earliest chart done for an individual private person around the year 280 BC. And this began to spread and became the way that we use astrology in the Western world. We also should mention at this point that the Western system of astrology is not the only one. The astrology system spread from Babylon down to India and up into China. But the Chinese have their own system and their own adaptation. And then The Egyptians had their own system. Instead of having 12 stars that were constellations of the stars, they had 36, because the Egyptians believed that the week lasted 10 days, not 7 days, and that there were 36 weeks in the year. So they had 36 constellations for us to go through. And then the Mayan Indians of the Americas had their own system. So at the very outset, we have to realize that astrology is very complex just because there are so many different systems. As a matter of fact, one of the confusions comes from what the constellations are. You see, we have the system of constellations that the Greeks and the Babylonians used. And we mark off 12 different parts of the year with Aries, Cancer, Taurus, Leo, Capricorn, Virgo, Libra, and the rest. And these different constellations are imaginary. You see, what they did is they play connected dots with the stars and try to imagine pictures in the skies. But the Mayans didn't have the same connected dots. They had different mythology. They had different gods. And they believed different gods inhabited different stars. And so did the Chinese. The Chinese focus on animals. That's why they have the year of the rat, the year of the horse, the year of the rooster, and so on. All these different Chinese animals are different from the constellations that we use in our astrological system, and they don't coincide. Neither do they coincide with the Mayan system. However, I find that New Agers go back and forth to different Chinese and Mayan and Western systems of astrology. So, for instance, we recently had the harmonic convergence in 1987. That was based on Mayan astrology, as interpreted, by one man, Arguelles. And that doesn't necessarily coincide with the system of astrology used in the West. So there's a lot of confusion, but the New Agers sort of combine it all. Now, that's not the only aspect of it that we have to see as basic. Remember early on in our discussions of the New Age movement is that a very important idea is that of monism. Everything is one. And monism is the basis for belief in astrology. Because if everything is one, astrologers take the principle that whatever happens above happens here on earth. So as it is in the skies, so will it be on the earth. And if the skies have that kind of control on the earth. Now, this is something that we ourselves may not accept as Christians. Astrology goes flat against our Christian belief. We see, for instance, in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 47, a section of the prophecy that is written in ancient Babylon when the Israelites are captives there. And the prophet criticizes those Israelites and the Babylonians who go to the astrologers. And they say, he says to Babylon, "You wearied yourself with many consultations at which you toiled from your youth. Let the astrologers stand forth to save you, the stargazers who forecast at each new moon what would happen to you. Behold, they are like stubble. Fire consumes them. They cannot save themselves from the spreading flames. This is no warming ember, no fire to sit before. Thus do your wizards serve you, with whom you have toiled from your youth. Each wanders his own way, with none to save you." Clearly, Isaiah condemns astrology and says that they will be consumed like stubble, like a fire that you can't warm yourself but be destroyed by. We have to avoid this ourselves. We're going to be back in just a moment to look a little more in-depth at astrology to see further reasons why it's useless to follow. So please stay with us. To take a look at this map of the universe as a way to help show you some of the problems that exist with astrology from anybody's perspective. First of all, when we talk about the zodiac, what is that? It's a word that means parade of animals, and it marks off what they call the ecliptic. That is, it traces out the Earth's path around the Sun. And as it does so, it passes through 12 different constellations. And these constellations are Aries and Taurus and Gemini, or it's Cancer's over here, and Leo and Virgo and Libra and Scorpio and Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius. That these 12 different signs mark off 30 degrees each one as we go through this circle around the Sun. And that just about takes care of the year, that we go through and look at these different 12 segments. And we have some problems with it right at the outset, because here's where spring begins. This is called the equinox, when it's 12 hours of daylight in the spring and 12 hours of night, of course, and 12 hours of daylight and night in the fall at the equator. Okay? Now, where do we go with that? When spring begins, the astrological year begins. That's what they used to mark it off. And we're supposed to be in Aries. But look here on the map. And you can see that we're actually in the sign called Pisces, the fish. And Aries isn't until almost a month later. And so that means all of the signs of the zodiac are off. Now, there are a couple ways that astrologers deal with that. One group of astrologers assumes that the whole thing is wrong and that we have to adjust to the real situation with the stars. And they have their own astrological system, and you can pay them to do that for you. Others say it doesn't matter if it's not there. Again, that would fit into a lot of New Age point of view, too, that the real world is an illusion. It's Maya, so it doesn't matter if it's really there or not. These are just the way we always do it, and we're not going to change. But what we have to say is that the emperor is naked. The signs are not there when they say they are. And you have to adjust your astrological chart a whole month to understand where the sun sign is, you know, and know what it's about. So that's one big major mistake that they make. A second area comes up with a lot of other problems that they run into. For instance, the original astrological system only knew about 6 planets. Now we know that there are 9 planets. In the last couple hundred years, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto have been discovered. And astrologers don't know how to incorporate them into the system. And even though they're named after gods, the old gods don't really seem to fit into the program, and they don't know the influence they have. Then, another problem that comes up with the astrological chart system has to do with the relationship of the planets to each other and the whole complexity of the system. For instance, we have different relationships between the planets, because the planets also have to move from one different sign to another, right? And that's the way it has to go. Now, when a planet is here, say in Gemini, and another planet is next to it, then we say that those planets are in conjunction, that they're together, and that they're cooperating. And you want to have planets that are friendly to each other, that are in cooperation. For instance, something like Mars, which is the husband of Venus in Greek mythology. You want Venus and Mars to be in conjunction, and that way you'll have some, you know, harmony in your family and your marriage life, according to the astrologers. But if you have one planet over here and another planet at the exact opposite, say in Sagittarius rather than over here in Gemini, then you have opposition. And that opposition might mean that there's a tension between it that could make your marriage, say, messed up. And the other planets are all the different relationships. Did these gods like each other in Greek mythology? Well, that might determine whether or not they are friendly or in good opposition or bad conjunction and so on. And they try to get all this stuff organized for you. It's very complex. And then besides that, they look at other angles, because they're not always going to be in conjunction or opposition. They might be at a slight angle here or here. And some of the angles are positive and some of them are negative, and you have to chart that out. Then, besides all that, you have to take a look. Well, each planet controls certain signs. And if that planet goes with that sign, is it together? Is it in the opposite? And you have to coordinate that. Then, besides knowing what sign the planet is in, you have to understand how many planets are in that sign and how that affects you. all of these different possibilities have to be, you know, dealt with and then interpreted. And they interpret it in a number of different ways. For instance, they'll take a look at what they call the quadruplicities and triplicities, that some planets have different characteristics, what they call cardinal, fixed, and mutable. And if these are, you know, some of the planets, the ones that begin each season, are called the cardinal signs, and then the ones that follow it are called the fixed signs, and then the next last ones are mutable signs. And if a lot of your planets are in mutable signs, then you're supposed to be real wishy-washy. But if they're in fixed signs, you're supposed to be real stubborn. And if you're in cardinal signs, real creative, and so on. And are you dominated by cardinal, fixed, or mutable? You have to understand all that. Then the triplicities have to deal with whether or not you're coordinated with fire, earth, air, and water. Some of the planets have to do with fire, some with earth, some with air and water. Because the ancient people believed those are the four basic elements. And you see how those planets coordinate. So you coordinate whether it's earth, air, fire, and water, whether it's cardinal, fixed, or mutable. You coordinate the angles. You coordinate all the planets. You coordinate the sun. And all of this combined. Now, it's for that reason that you might pay anywhere between $25 to $750 for your astrological chart. And that there are going to be all sorts of interpretations and possibilities. As a matter of fact, billions of possibilities, as my friend Dr. Mallow mentioned in his episode. But we also have to deal with another problem besides all these different possibilities, is the creativity of the astrologer. The astrologer will then come and use his or her own psychic powers and so on to help interpret. And if something doesn't work out, then say, aha, I forgot this, I forgot that. So you've paid money, and even when there's a mistake, they can make up for it. Because this is not science. It has nothing to do with science. It has more to do with their own psychic abilities. Well, these are some of the problems, and you can just see the complexity and all the different ways that it can get messed up. We're going to come back and look at what I think are some of the most important psychological and spiritual problems with astrology. So please stay with us. What are some of the wild and I think almost impossible ways of understanding astrology and using it from the scientific point of view and the astronomical point of view. But that's not the only problem with it. I have quite a number. One of the things that you see with astrology is that it tries to help people understand who they are. And another thing is it tries to help predict the future. It tries to help predict what's going to happen to you. Well, if we're starting off with a system where the signs of the zodiac are way off already, then how can it predict the future? And then also, as we have already said in our conversation with Dr. Mallow, there is no physical force that is able to connect astrology with what happens here on Earth. That the power of the stars, whether it be through gravity or anything else, is not strong enough to affect us here on Earth. And the moon isn't strong enough to connect us here on Earth. And in the book that I've mentioned to you before, Science and the Paranormal, by George Abel and others, they say that experiments done on things like lunacy, do people who are, you know, mentally disturbed start to act up when the moon is full? All the evidence shows that that is not the case. Even though there might be a lot of doctors and nurses who say that things go crazy in the emergency room or things go wild at the time of the full moon in a mental institution, there is no evidence to actually show that. When scientific studies are done of mental institutions and the behavior of the people and see if there are more incidents or if there are more incidents at hospitals, there is no correlation at all to the phases of the moon. If anything, there's something of a negative correlation. There are less accidents sometimes during the full moon. So there's no basis for it, and there's nothing that is possibly there to help change things. So that doesn't work. All right? Another problem on the psychological level is that there are 12 different personalities associated with the different constellations. How can this be if the constellations are already off by 30 degrees? That is one whole sign off. That's one problem. Secondly, Dr. Walter Martin, again, a friend of mine I've mentioned many times because he's somebody who has studied the cults and the occult for over, almost 40 years in his career as a minister. And Dr. Martin mentioned one time in a lecture that information from different astrological charts and systems where they analyzed the characteristics were fed into a computer, and that this computer was programmed for synonyms. What did they refine as a result? That each different characteristic, each different sign, had personality characteristics of the other signs, but they were just using different words for it. They were synonymous. And so, of course, people began to say, yeah, I'm just like a Sagittarius because I get angry sometimes. Wait a minute, everybody gets angry. And some people I can just see out there and say, no. When they did my chart, they got some real specific things. Of course they did. But did they get everything in your personality? I doubt it. And did they get something that would fit you at some times and would fit other people at other times? Yes, I think so. That's exactly what goes on. Another thing that I've seen happen with astrologers is that they adapt their interpretation of a personality to the facial features, to what people are saying, and to how they're responding. I've seen that happen. Now, that doesn't happen all the time because some charts are written down before there's contact with the person. And some people will say that it's just amazing how accurate it is. But it's also, I would suspect, amazing in how inaccurate it is. Think again about some of the characteristics that don't fit you and how you, it's so easy to neglect them and say, oh, that didn't quite get it, but this other stuff really did. It's too selective. Tests were run, and we mentioned this in the section with Dr. Mallow, that when you told people, well, you're a Sagittarius, and we want to see if this fits you, and they would, you go through and analyze the characteristics for Sagittarius or Leo or whatever, and they would say, yes, that really fits, it works. But when they did blind studies, blind random studies where they did not tell the people, all right, this is the characteristic that you have because you're Sagittarius and all the other characteristics, and gave them the information from their chart, then it didn't even come 50-50 chance that they did not respond well to the information. It didn't work. And they didn't say, yes, I believe this. In other words, people believe in the information from the astrologers when they already have some faith in them and they're willing to give them some more faith, then it works. Apart from that, it doesn't work. The difficulty I have with this on a psychological and social level is that it becomes a cheap way for people to think that they have a grasp of what other people are like. And you can go and say, oh, I don't like Taurus. Oh, I can't stand Cancer. These Sagittarius just really are great. What are you talking about? That is stupid talk. Because you think that you grasp what somebody else is like from a little bit that you've read about these signs, and you short-circuit authentic relationship where you really deal with another person as they are. I had a man tell me about how he did not like this one wife. He always used to fight with his wife and then continued to fight with his second wife just as much. And said, oh, those Leos, I can't get along with those Leos. To say that it's the Leos that's the problem avoids the fact that this same person is arguing the same way with two different women. Maybe it's his own fault. Maybe it's his own characteristic instead of the Leos. But this becomes a way for him to avoid authentic relationship and self-knowledge that actually helps to change him and brings him to conversion. I say, and I say it radically, and I say it along with the authority of Scripture, forget astrology. Even when the astrologers try to say, well, it's in the Bible. Didn't the astrologers go to see Jesus in Matthew's Gospel? Yes, they saw some sign in the sky, but we don't know what it was exactly. And it doesn't seem to be exactly astrological. It was some sign that they followed that God gave them. Secondly, what happened with that sign? That sign in the sky led them not directly to Jesus, did it? It led them to Herod. And because it led them to Herod, Herod went and killed the holy innocents. All those boys, 2 years old and under, who lived in Bethlehem, died because the astrologers went to Herod directly. How did the astrologers find Jesus? When they went to Jerusalem, they asked for the Messiah, where he's going to be born. And where did the information come from? Scripture. Micah chapter 5 was read to them. And it said, "And you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, of you will come the Messiah." So it was Scripture that led them to Bethlehem, not the star. Astrology doesn't lead us, Scripture does. Use the Word of God and follow the Word of God, which says that astrology is forbidden, as in Isaiah 47. Instead of trying to follow these stars that really are not in the right place anyway, follow Jesus Christ, whom we see in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, is the morning star. He's called the morning star because that's a sign of his victory over sin and death. And he also says in the book of Revelation, "To you who conquer, to you who obey me and follow my laws, I will give you the morning star of victory." Find victory not in these stars, but rather in Jesus Christ, our Savior. God bless you.
Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will.